You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. An afternoon drive home like no other.
I will take him on anytime, any place, any day, anywhere. Any condition, anything on the line, it doesn't matter.
I'll put 10 grand on you. 10 shots each? I've got 10 grand on you.
Thank you. Flat money.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, Masai Ujiri coming up at 5:30. We're really throwing around the old, this is the most anticipated season ever line. And we've been doing it a lot. We did it for a month leading up to the Maple Leafs. Really, we did it all summer.
Yeah.
You know, once Tavares decided to sign, as of July 1st at like 1:30 p.m., it was the most anticipated season in 50 years, which I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with, but we've carried that over to the Raptors. Now, this is the most anticipated Raptors season in history.
Well, yeah.
It's because of Kawhi. Obviously, they make the biggest trade in franchise history, but we are really getting caught up in the moment. We need
it's
a different promotion.
Kawhi and also LeBron James has left the East, and you want to see what can be done here. Because there's been failure when you, like Cleveland, opening night is usually, okay, we're going to play good, we'll do whatever, but LeBron takes over and walks out of here with the win.
Well, the East is up. It's up for grabs now.
Absolutely.
You felt like it wasn't up for grabs because of LeBron, the LeBron factor.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he came in the playoffs, there was that meme of him like standing over Toronto like Godzilla.
LeBronto.
LeBronto.
Yeah, that was
there's a reason,
an absolute domination by one man.
But there's a reason why people are excited about the Raptors. Now, LeBron leaves, you bring in Kawhi, and the team looks poised to be, I don't know if you can even be better regular season. 59 wins.
Yeah, I'm not sure they get to 59. It doesn't matter. It's completely irrelevant. As long as they're in the playoffs, I think home court in the first round would go a long way.
Exactly.
They'll finish, you know, in the top four in the conference, and you're going to have home court in the first round. And beyond that, let's see what you've got. You've also got Nick Nurse. You've got a new head coach. You know, that factors in significantly. Danny Green is a guy of intrigue. He can shoot threes. He can defend. He's pumping their tires. Yesterday, he came out and said this is the deepest team he's ever been on, which I find hard to believe.
That's ridiculous.
Considering the team he just came from, it's not like he rolled in here from Memphis.
Right.
The guy was on the San Antonio Spurs when Duncan and Parker and Ginobili and Kawhi and Pop were putting in work in back-to-back NBA Finals. They won a title against Miami. But everything's the most anticipated ever. So, because I feel like it's going to happen with the Jays, too. When the Jays come back, if Vladdy makes the team, if he breaks camp, and I don't think he will because of the whole time served argument and that whole narrative. But if he breaks camp somehow, it'll be the most anticipated debut in the history of the team. Everything's the most anticipated.
Well,
but once the games get started tomorrow night with the Raptors, then we can move past the whole off-season chatter and we can really get to the real stuff.
Right.
And two games in the NBA tonight. It's Boston, Philly, and Oklahoma City rolling into Golden State. So we'll tee that up with Masai in about a half an hour. The Leafs are 6-1 on the season. Auston Matthews, 16 points in 7 games. 2 more points again last night. Guy's an absolute machine.
He's on fire.
And you know what? I was driving home, and it dawned on me that we did not mention the name Dion Phaneuf once yesterday.
No, no?
Not one time. And
it's the second team. He's moved on to the second team.
Is that
it? I think you passed it.
Absolutely.
Well, they weren't past it last night. They were booing him every time he touched the puck. But
I think people have moved on.
The guy was the captain of the team. There's been how many in the history of the team? And we didn't mention his name once, which I guess was, I don't know if it's a misstep by us, but a little bit surprising.
I can only think that it's the second team, and it's, the guy gets traded for the first time. He comes back. Whatever you think about his tenure here, but when it's the second team, you're not going to continue that.
And you're only going to see him once, actually, this year.
That's it.
Right,
they're done.
He's done here.
You won't see him again. But he was getting booed last night every time he touched the puck.
What did you make of Doughty's comments?
What comments?
Well, him saying that he, basically said that I would think about Toronto, but I was just messing with LA, and And but he goes, I secretly want the Leafs to do good, just when they're not playing us. Like he was putting on a show at media.
Yeah,
yesterday.
This is the annual Drew Doughty tour, though.
That's
every
what it
year
is.
They come through, it's like, you know, they have their chance to be in the media, the mainstream media in the NHL, and it's like somebody always has a comment. They do it every year.
Yes, the Eastern Canadian swing. In Montreal, he talks. In Toronto, he talks. In Ottawa, I'm sure he does. And he's going to make noise.
Don't hear a word the rest of the year.
Yeah. I think there might have been... I'm sure there's an element of truth to that. Why was he ever going to leave L.A.? He's, you know, he drafted there. He's won two cups. It's L.A. Yeah. You know, why would he have ever left?
I don't think
I'm sure that was a part of it, that, hey, I want to, you know, send a message to Rob Blake in ownership that you're going to have to pay me. And he got paid in the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, he grew up in London. He knows what it's all about. I chuckled about his comment where he said, every year since I was five, the first couple of weeks, this team's great, and the hype machine starts up with the Leafs, and then it fades. But he said, this year feels a little bit different. And after last night, when he got to see it, I'm sure he would continue to feel that way.
Yeah.
You know, the Leafs are a good team.
Yeah.
That LA team, they might go through some road bumps. They didn't look very good. It's early. They got some older guys. And you see with St. Louis, they brought in a bunch of guys who don't necessarily move that fast. And in this day and age, if you're not moving fast, you might pay for it. And I don't know. They just didn't seem that good. I was not impressed.
They did not look good last night. They did not. And they got smoked by Ottawa on Saturday. Yeah. Now, Ottawa's racking up some wins. You know, I'll give them credit. Ottawa's
won some
games.
Home stand, and
Montreal's won some games.
Ottawa, their young kids are playing well. Like, Thomas Chabot has 8 points coming into yesterday's game. That's second to Morgan Riley. Like, he's a very good player. And, you know, I think people were expecting, with the departure of Erik Karlsson, you know, their blue line was going to be a mess. Well, there's no experience back there, technically. Cody Ceci's injured. He's out till, I think, this weekend. But Cody Ceci's 24 years old. DeMello, they get in the trade. He's a nice player. He's a fine player. 25 years old. Max Lajoie, 20 years old. Chabot, 21. Like, they're going with an inexperience. The oldest vet there is Borowiecki. And you know, he's a solid player. But they're a fast team. They work hard. And Craig Anderson's been great. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. Like, they gave up 37 or 38 shots last night. They've still given up the most amount of shots in the league. But they haven't given up a lot of high, like, secondary chances. So they've been good.
Yeah, listen, the wall is coming for them, I think. I just don't think they have enough talent. I don't think they're good enough. But I'll give them credit. It's a better start than I thought they would. You know, they beat the Leafs at home. The Leafs have lost once, and it was to Ottawa. Yeah. So, you know, full credit to them. Same thing with Montreal. They've won back-to-back games with Antti Niemi in net. You know, and they've beaten Pittsburgh twice now.
Well, Pitts, you lose a guy like Justin Schultz. Like, Justin Schultz is a better player than people give him credit for, and he's a puck mover. And that looked like a horrific injury. I thought I read this morning it's four
months.
Well,
he had surgery. He's out for 4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big blow. Matt Murray's injured, concussion, and, you know, you're rolling through DeSmith and Jerry. Like, they're not Matt Murray.
No.
They're not Marc-Andre Fleury. That's, you know, we talked about Garrett Sparks and the depth of the Toronto Maple Leafs goaltending. The injuries, like, look at L.A. You saw that, you know, Jack Campbell rolled out yesterday. With him and Peter Budaj, that's their tandem. You know, if you have an injury at that position and you don't have depth, it can be scary, regardless of what you have in front. Because, you know, if you're looking at Toronto, there's a lot of skill up front there. But if you don't have somebody that you trust in the net, man, it's a little bit...
No, it's very dicey. We talked about it yesterday,
sure,
I think it was.
At length yesterday.
When you talk, there are certain positions in pro sports where even though it's a team sport, you're on your own.
Quarterback,
and
I mean, you're
quarterback, pitching, and goaltending.
Yeah.
It's a team sport, but really, you're on your own. We're talking about it in the context was David Price and whether or not Price wants the ball. And, you know, I said yesterday, he may not want it. And the truth is, because of the position he plays, you can't hide.
Yeah.
There are positions in other sports, in all sports that we just mentioned, baseball, hockey, and football, where you can hide somebody. fourth line left winger's not feeling it,
yeah,
he's just going to say to himself, give me 10 minutes, I'm going to block a couple shots, hit a couple guys, and
strong
get me the hell
the
off
wall.
The ice.
Yeah, strong on the wall.
But if I have a breakaway tonight, there's a 0% chance I'm scoring. I feel brutal, I suck, and I'm not going to be able to perform.
Yeah.
You know, someone in left field may get a ball or two hit his way, pick it up, get it in, go 0-for-4, maybe walk, and who cares?
Yeah.
Football, the same thing. You know, if you're the nickel cornerback, as long as you don't get burned too badly, you can escape.
Yeah.
If you're a quarterback, a pitcher, or a goalie, you can.
Yeah.
It's a team sport, but really it's an individual sport in many ways, based on the position that you chose. And I was thinking about that last night with Aaron Rodgers, my boy, who did it again last night.
This puts a show on, eh, this guy?
Puts on a show, but it is embarrassing that you have to squeak out a win against a team like that at home.
But he's like the Edmonton Oilers. It's all about him, and if he puts on a show, they could have a chance to win. And if not?
But you need more.
No kidding. Yeah.
Here's the analogy I've come up with. Aaron Rodgers is to football what Jacob DeGrom was to baseball this year. DeGrom, I believe, will win the Cy Young for the Mets. And Cy Young in the National League.
Terrible team.
Horrendous team. Can't hit, can't defend, can't do anything. But DeGrom goes out there every fifth day, and they had a chance to win.
And I saw him live, Brian, and he was redonk.
The numbers he put up were, there were some stats that he established that we haven't ever seen in the history of the game. This is baseball. It's been around for 130 years.
Yeah.
This guy's putting up numbers that are astonishing. I believe he was under 500. Maybe he hit 500. And it's the same thing with Rodgers and the Packers. He is Jacob DeGrom. He's going to give you a chance. But at some point, someone else has to do something.
Jump up, yeah.
You need a big hit. You know, in football, you need a big pick or you need a big sack.
Yeah.
Packers just don't have playmakers. They've got the best in the business and then a bunch of mediocrity around them. And as a Packers fan, it scares me because I think you're wasting a guy's prime. You know, won that Super Bowl a long time ago.
Just like Connor McDavid or DeGrom or Rodgers, don't you go to management and say, what am I even doing here? Like, are you not going to support me with some kind of team?
Like, I would like to believe that would happen, but they also just paid him the richest contract in NFL history. And
McDavid's
the highest paid player.
That's great. I love to be paid. I'm glad I'm paid. But nothing else?
It's an interesting, it's a good topic in considering what's going on today in sports. Where
the big boys got to get paid. But what are you going to do after that?
There's a real battle, too, between team player and being selfish.
Right.
And how, you know, society is starting to endear themselves. You know, society in the sports world is starting to give passes to players admitting that they're selfish. Or that, like Manny Machado just wrote, I guess, sat down with Ken Rosenthal. And there's a piece in The Athletic where he was being criticized because in game two he dogged. He hit a chopper to short. He was going to be out.
Yeah.
He just dogged it out. He just mailed in the run. And he was asked about it by Rosenthal. And Manny Machado, who's going to be a free agent after this year, came out and effectively said, I don't have the quote in front of me, but I'm not going to be Johnny Hustle. It's not in my DNA. That's not who I am. I'm not going to give you 100%. That's basically what he said. Evgeny Kuznetsov last week said, I don't have any interest in being the MVP. I'm not working every day. And we're like, oh, that's hilarious. That's funny.
Yeah.
It's true. I appreciate the honesty, but it's also it's shocking honesty. Like, I don't feel like you could get away with those quotes 20 years ago. People would be like, what?
Well,
you're not going
to. Like, we got to get this guy off our team.
But can you not work hard enough?
But, will those players fit into respective organizations? So, for example, Kuznetsov, I'm sure Babs would want him. But Babs doesn't want him acting like that or playing like that. If he, there are certain organizations. Now, put that in the Belichick mold. Regardless of who you are, if you're not buying into what he's selling, you're down the road.
Well, doesn't it also come into play who else is on your team? Like the players, I mean?
Yeah, that, surrounding
them. You know, like by all accounts, it sounds like, you know, the Caps are a free-loving, hey, let's go out and have a good time type of vibe. And
Kuznetsov,
and they love him. And listen, he's a great player. He just won a cup, and he could have won the Conn Smythe.
Yeah.
He wasn't dogging it when they won 16 games in the spring.
No, he's fine.
But the comment is one where you think, really?
Yeah.
Like, you're willing to go, you're like, I'm not working every day. And Machado's like, I'm not going to do it.
You think the Machado comment is more like, look, I play in the infield. I know when I'm out, when I'm not out. I know you're expected to, why am I going to do it? It's basically also saying, why would I want to blow my hamstring or knee out when I'm becoming a free agent
Well, and that's another thing that's happening in sports, right? Is when you're going to get paid. Look at Le'Veon Bell. He's like, he could still get paid a lot by signing the franchise tag, but he wants more guaranteed money. He's like, I'm not showing up. You know, there's a story in college football. The biggest story in America right now is Nick Bosa, who's Joey Bosa's kid brother, who's at Ohio State. Now, he had an injury, he had surgery in September, but he said, I'm done. I'm not coming back. I'm not playing. I'm getting ready for the draft. He's just not going back to play. Like, Ohio State's a top, they're going to be a playoff team. Yeah. Like, they're a legit powerhouse college team, but this guy's going to be a top 10 pick in the draft, and he's like, I'm not going back to play. Wow. I'm done. I'm not going to blow out my knee. I'm not going to do this, that, or the other.
Bring it home. But, I mean, bring it home to William Nylander. He's sitting in Sweden. He could be getting paid and be in the lineup. It's just, how much does he want to get paid? And we don't know. Again, we talked about him in the 4 o'clock hour. Financially, we don't know the numbers. It could be a low ball. It could be whatever. But, you know, there are. It's a difference between a business and what guys think of themselves. And ultimately, he may take some heat. He has taken heat, William Nylander. There are people talking about cap and people talking about moving him and that. It's just, that's what we do at the water cooler. That's what we do on our show. But William Nylander has to think of himself and his brand as a business. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have to make sure that he fits into the structure moving forward. But, you know, we could sit there and go, how much is enough?
Well, you know? And the truth is, because there are examples of some players taking discounts or accepting whatever's offered, you use that against whichever player happens to be up at this
Brad
point.
Brad Marchand,
exactly. Tom Brady for years was like, give me less. You know, like they manipulated his contract so that they had more cap space. That's Tom Brady, the best player in the game.
But Brady also knows it's best for him because they can use that money to surround him with either receivers that he can get the ball to.
But that's exactly what Dubas is telling these kids. Yeah. It's the exact same thing. He's going to them and he's like, listen, guys, if we all want to play and get a chance to win, there's nothing I can do. I would love... The Leafs have, their owners would pay all these kids all the money in the world.
Yeah.
But you can't do it. Golden State, the same thing. Durant had to take less to stick around.
Right.
He could have hit the market and hit the max.
Yeah.
But he's like, I want to keep winning titles and I like it in Golden State. I'm taking less. Now, he's still making whatever it is, $30 million a year. But technically, he's taking a discount.
Yes.
That's
the perception, though. So you're the perception from the fan base is it's all right. Like you look at it one way, you want somebody to take a discount. Other people, I mean, agents, players around the league are saying, in the NHL, saying to Nylander, like, ring it up, good on you. Like, that's what the marketplace, you set the marketplace. If William Nylander gets something with a 7 in it, and he's a 60-point guy.
The next guy
who's got 69 or 80 points or 70 points goes, hold on a second, I'm a better player than that player. You climb all over each other.
Even that's a manipulation of the facts. William Nylander is not doing this to be a mercenary for the Players Association.
No.
He's not worried about the next guy. He's worried about himself, which is what I have no problem with that. I understand it. He should be. He's got to think out. He's got to think about William Nylander.
But I don't think he's going to be one guy that's going to set a bar for anybody else. I don't think he is.
Well, I don't think the Leafs will allow him to be that guy.
No, they don't.
Unless
want
he goes somewhere else.
But you
somebody
do
else
have
might
to
be willing to pay him.
But you do have to be selfish. You have to be selfish in a short window of your career.
I agree, Jamie, to a certain extent. You have 10 years to play if you're lucky.
If you're lucky.
But
10 years
to sit out half of one or 2 months of one,
I never wanted to sit out those lockouts.
I told you guys, I don't understand the idea of making $0. Like what he's wiping his rear end with every week with payment. How do you?
It's
serious money,
but
man.
I think the bigger frustration from people on the outside, where we don't have any skin in the game, is the end game has been quite clear for a long time,
right?
September 1st, October 1st, November 1st, December 1st. This is the offer, and that's what you're getting.
Right.
And there's no dancing around it. I'm sorry, man. You know, unless you want to play in the K, you have that right. Go ahead, play in the KHL, play in Sweden. But if you're playing in Toronto, if you are a National Hockey League player, you are getting what the Leafs have put on the table. And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's what's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. It's not like I understand where he's coming from. I get it. But
I don't think it's frustrating for a lot of people.
This is the reality.
It's frustrating for William Nylander.
Well, that's true.
Because they don't care. They're winning 5-1, 6-1, 7-4. They don't really care.
They're 6-1.
Right. Yeah.
Like, they're going to want him and need him, and they do want him. They'd love to have him here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a big part of the team. He's been on the team for a number of years. They'll love the guy. I mean, he wants to be here. I fully believe that.
This is just the ugly part of the business. It's unfortunate.
And it's the reality of a hard salary cap, too. There's just no flexibility.
Yeah.
Masai Ujiri will join us in about 10 minutes. It's Raptors-Cavs tomorrow night down at Scotiabank. And you can hear that game right here on TSN 1050. We'll get his take on camp, on Kawhi, Danny Green, Nick Nurse, expectations. Tee up the season with the president of the club. Masai Ujiri will join us next. Masai Ujiri is going to call in just a few moments. The NBA tipping off tonight. Two games, Boston, Philly, OKC in Golden State. Last time I checked, the Warriors are monster favorites. And as much as I feel like Golden State is going to win, and I feel good about them winning a lot of games this year, opening night, I think I'd take the points.
Really?
Well, Russell Westbrook, you know he's going to be ready to play. Paul George will be ready to play. But
there's no lock of the century for you.
Well, you know what I've found? This is the problem. The NBA during the offseason is fascinating. It is a soap opera unlike any other league. Star players get traded. Star players demand trades.
Yeah.
They leave via free agency. Coaches get fired. I mean, it's been bedlam.
This is what you want for pro sports.
I love this type of offseason. Yes. I want soap opera. I want content. That's what I'm seeking out. I admit to that. But once the games actually start, the soap opera disappears really quickly. And I've noticed...
You want W's.
Well, the move is for someone to write a piece about why Golden State may be vulnerable this year. Okay. Like, that's the move. You know, every editor of every website in North America is going to their top guy and saying, please write a compelling piece on why Golden State will not win the NBA title this year.
Yeah, but you would read it and say that's not true.
I would read it that way.
You never know, because there could be inconsistency. There could be injuries.
That's basically the whole piece for me. If I'm writing a piece trying to convince you as to why I think Golden State will not win the NBA title this year, it's because of injury. That's it. Not because of infighting, not because Draymond Green kicks some guy in the stones.
There's only one other thing you would do, boredom. Just boredom of just crushing everyone all the time.
Complacency.
Complacency. That's the only other factor as opposed to...
I don't even think that counts. I don't think complacency counts.
How about Kawhi goes legend?
Well, there's a part of me that wishes... I wish LeBron was still in the East so that I could have seen it. You know, with Kawhi here...
Like, go up against him.
Yes. You know, like, we saw what LeBron did for years when he was in the East, but now that this Raptors team has a different vibe to it,
right?
Different superstar, different head coach.
I prefer that he's in the West. I'll be honest.
I have a feeling the guy who's on hold right now probably agrees with you.
I prefer he's in the West, yes.
Here's the president of the Raptors, Masai Ujiri. Are you okay with LeBron being in the West, Masai?
Yeah, I'm okay with him being anywhere.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is I'm getting greedy here. I feel good about your team, and you know, I'm sure you do as well. And we were kind of joking about this to kick off the hour. Everyone's using the same phrase that it's the most anticipated season in the history of the franchise, and the expectations are high, and the excitement is through the roof. You've been here for a number of years, two different stints. Does this feel like the most anticipated season in Raptors history for you?
I feel like we have to go back to like every radio show I do on Tuesday, and maybe like this question is almost like the same question. Like every year is the same thing, you know, like honestly, we are in sports. It doesn't matter where your team is. Yeah, we just anticipate so much because it's new, you know, and but I do get it. I get what you guys are saying, you know, like, yes, you know, like we want to see this team. We've been the same way for 5 years, and now there's a little bit of change, and we all honestly, like, we look forward to it, you know, like it's a challenge on all fronts, but I think it's a great challenge that everybody has accepted, and we do it. But in terms of anticipation, you know, I can't wait to watch the games tonight, you know, just like everybody else. And we can't wait to play tomorrow.
Well, let me throw a different question, a unique question to you that I don't believe I have phrased to you on the eve of the season in the past 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. The pressure that lays on your feet. I know you always say that it's on me and I'm going to build this team up. But You made two of the most drastic moves in franchise history this offseason. You fired the head coach, Dwayne Casey, who is the winningest coach in team history and just won the coach of the year. You hire Nick Nurse, and you trade DeMar DeRozan, who holds almost every record of significance on this team, and you bring in Kawhi. I mean, those are two monster moves. In terms of pressure, what does that word mean to you going into this season, considering the moves you made this offseason?
Honestly, like I go into this job thinking it's a blessing, and we all get hired to be fired, you know, like there's no, to me, the day I'm not at this job, you know, like it's going to be the exact same thing for me, to be honest, you know, I don't, there would be no highs or lows, you know, like I'm just like, I'm blessed, you know, like to have an opportunity that's just so good in life, you know, like, so I don't, I hate to say it this way, you know, like, but I don't feel pressure. I don't feel pressure in any way, you know, like I don't want our team to feel pressure in any way, but I do understand what goes around and what is said. But man, we work in the NBA, man. We get paid tons of money, you know, like we're blessed, you know, like this is our jobs. If you can't do it, go somewhere else, go do something else, you know, like, that's how I see it. If I can't do this job, the day I can't do this job, I'll go do something else, you know, like, but I terribly enjoy it. I love it. I want to win. I want this city to win. I want our players to win. We play for a championship and we want to compete, you know, like, that's how I see it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, you know, like on to the next, to be honest.
Well, you construct the team. Do you ever actually allow yourself to relax and say, I just want to be patient and watch this come together? What does it feel like when you construct the team? Is there a nervousness about it? Of course, everybody wants it to work. You just said you want it to work. I want it to win. How do you watch it and just be able to relax as opposed to saying, man, I hope this really works?
I think is what you've seen maybe in the last 5 years. I think that has been patience, right? You know, there are times when as much as we say, you know, like there are people calling for Case to be fired. There are people calling for DeMar to be traded, you know, like I think that's patient, you know, like that's the moment that we're in and the instincts or but that's our jobs, you know, like it's other people sometimes don't can't see that's just the way it works. You can't see the inside of some of the things that are that we have to. And we have to look at to make this, this big decision. So, it's our instincts sometimes and it's your study, it's your preparation. And we have to do all of that. And if you don't study well, if you're not prepared well, you'll be caught off guard. And I think our team, Bobby, Teresa, Dan, these guys study well, they prepare well. We all try to do that. And, in terms of patience, I think, we showed that we want to build a culture and we were patient with how we build a team here. And in terms of this one going forward, I think with Kawhi, you know, being here for 1 year, you know, like we have to set aside a different strategy for that. And obviously it's not. It's not something that you have to decide today. You have to grow that relationship, but the time is limited too. So we look at that and we have to study that. But when you're in this position, you always have to be, I think you have to be a relaxed mind in some kind of way, you know, that has to come with it. And yeah, it's about winning, we want to compete, but with some of these decisions and things that you look at, you have to have a calm mind.
Have you had any contract talks with Kawhi and his people yet?
No.
What kind of approach do you intend on having throughout the year? Will that be, are you going to hope to bring it up in a month, 2 months, at Christmas? I mean, how are you going to handle that story this year?
I don't know if I can tell the whole world, you know, like what our strategy is going to be like. So I'll keep that within us.
Okay. What about his attitude? Because that's been a big part of the conversation. You know, how does he feel about the system, about the team, et cetera, how he's fitting in? Everything I've heard is that he looks great, feels healthy, he's been very vocal. What have you seen out of Kawhi that would lead you to believe that his mindset is 100% committed and he's ready to go as a Raptor this year?
He's been phenomenal, you know, like he's been great communicating, telling us how he feels and where he is. I think he's been great on the court with his teammates, with the coaches, but he's been vocal, as you said. He's a strong individual, you know, and a phenomenal basketball player that went through some things, you know, like last year. And for me, I don't concentrate on that. I can only concentrate on the day we got Kawhi Leonard and forward. We've done our studies of the past, and now we have him in our organization. You know, he's been phenomenal. You know, you see it on the basketball court. Other than for me, it's just him not playing a lot, lots of 5-on-5, you know, like because of the year he missed, you know, like other than that, you know, like there's him catching up with his with air and shape and all of that, which he's made so much progress with. There's been zero issue with the guy. He's such a great kid.
With Masai Ujiri, I know no one within the organization would have said it on the record leading up to the previous 2 or 3 years, but you guys all felt pretty comfortable that you were going to win a lot of games and make the playoffs. And last year you won 59 and you ended up with the top seed in the East. This year, I'm sure you feel the same way in terms of the confidence, but is there going to be a different approach from an organizational standpoint to what you hope to get out of the regular season because of a new head coach in Nick Nurse and because of a guy like Kawhi and even Danny Green playing a role in this year's team? In other words, what do you hope to gain from the regular season, even if it is a foregone conclusion, you'll win a lot of games and make the playoffs?
Well, we learn, you know. I think in the regular season, a lot of the things that Nick talks about is preparing, you know, like preparing for those times, those moments. And I feel, I just feel like during the regular season is when you can prepare for those. And he knows, and I think the players know now, just from where we've been in the past, you know, like, and where we've capped off. We know that these guys are a season that, you know, the regular season, you knock wood, that you can get through health and we get through a full season without trouble. And then these guys know what the job at hand is. We have new guys that you have to incorporate in Kawhi, in Danny, and also the coach, you know. So not everything is going to be the same. I think we've seen that in the preseason and in training camp, and there are going to be bumps. There's going to be adversity. There's going to be tough times. You know, like that happens to the best of us. It happens to everybody in the regular season. There's just so many games, so we just have to be prepared. And preparation is big, and for this moment, and hopefully we can transfer a good season into a good postseason.
With Masai Ujiri, Nick Nurse, we've enjoyed having him on. He's definitely an interesting guy. He's a fun interview. I was watching a clip out of him yesterday where he was asked about the adjustment from being an assistant coach to a head coach, and he said it's just about all the different things you've got to juggle. And he said, I've got a couple of meetings I've got to go to that don't even pertain to the game tomorrow night, where when you're an assistant, you don't have to worry about that. It's early. Sample size isn't that big. But what have you seen out of Nick Nurse that leads you to believe that he's comfortable in this role as the head coach?
I think he's handled training camp and he's handled the preseason pretty good. You know, like we started seeing it at Summer League, you know, like where we gave him a very rough team, not very good team, you know, just because we're trying to build on OG and Malachi, and he took it, bought into it, and before you know it, you know, like there's something brewing from it. You know, he's not a complainer. He's not trying to bring me he's trying to learn, you know, like as he goes, but also bring in the knowledge, you know, like the experience he's learned, you know, like the things he's seen, not only from Duane, but even other places, you know, like how he's learned from all those really good experiences and winning. And that's what I think Nick has done so well is also I think he's a creative guy and he reads the players and sees what the moment is and deals with things accordingly. And that's he's right, you know. These positions are all about managing time, managing people, and solving problems, you know. On his side, you know, like that's a big thing in the NBA is how you're going to deal with your players and put them in good positions to succeed.
Well, one of the biggest stories that came out of camp was Nick Nurse saying that the starting rotation may be a bit fluid to start the year. That you know, there's a chance some guys will start on the bench where they might be used to starting in the starting five. Is that based on analytics? Is that based on where the game is going? What's the reasoning behind maybe changing the approach to the starting five?
He told me I might start tomorrow.
Good. Where? What position?
Are you guys in for that? Will you guys pump that up for me on
Absolutely.
The radio?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, look, what position do you play, though?
I can play the two.
Okay. So where's Kawhi playing at the three, I guess, starting
man,
tomorrow?
Kawhi will come off for me, man.
Okay, he'll be off the bench.
Yeah,
okay.
He'll come off.
Yeah. All right. That's fine.
No, he's. I think... Nick is an analytics guy, but he's a real time guy too. You know, he operates on the fly. He operates with his assistants. He operates with his players. He's got dynamic skills, I think, you know, which is, at the end of the day, you are on the seat and you are making those decisions. And, Nick is phenomenal at reading those things. And, he hasn't coached an NBA game, you know, like, and this is an NBA game tomorrow, and he's coached in the preseason, but you see in the preseason kind of, you know, like his instinct and some of the things to expect from him. So the game starts tomorrow, you know, and we'll continue to see, we'll continue to learn, and I know there'll be a learning curve for him with some things, and he's open to that. The great thing about him is he's open and open to learning.
Are we expecting a mic drop out of you tomorrow? F Cleveland or anything like that, or what?
No, you're not going to be hearing from me at all.
No?
No. I'm very quiet. I don't have enough money to pay fines unless you guys want to raise funds on your show.
Well,
is that your decision, or were you told no more of that?
No. Like, hey, this is our team, you know, like, and we can hype our teams in any way that we want, but it's not a time for that, you know, like, I think basketball, is where we're going, and, I think everybody's excited about seeing the team. Nobody's trying to hear me. I don't know why you guys have me on the show.
The door's always open. Yes. You know that. We'll always have you on. Starting, you know, shooting guards starting tomorrow night. We're looking forward to seeing you in action.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, good luck tomorrow and the rest of the way. I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you, Masai.
I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
There's Masai Ujiri, president of the Raptors. Raps, Cavs tomorrow night on TSN. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050.
Fire it up. Let's get it going.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, he said it. Like, you know, the preseason is what it is. It was a quiet preseason. It was a different preseason.
They weren't here.
Right. But it was different. Like, Nick Nurse is now the man in charge, and Kawhi's here. But there's only so much access you can get. No one knows what they're really doing behind the scenes. And
right.
Everyone knows they're going to be a good team. And as long as they're healthy, they're going to perform. It's just about, you know, gearing up and get going.
You had one comment where it just seemed to me like, I think he said we got a year here. Which was somewhat telling, because maybe it is the 1 year window.
Until he signs a deal, he's only here for 1 year.
Exactly.
Like, so until Kawhi
both
signs.
Of the guys they brought in.
But Danny Green too.
But why not focus on just what's in front of you? You've got these players for at least 1 year. So go at it.
Absolutely. Now, I tried to get out of him that he's not just going to pick up the phone on June 30th and say, so what's up? Are we going to sign a deal tomorrow? Like, at some point this year, he's going to have to talk to Kawhi or his people and be like, how are we feeling about this?
But what if he was like John Tavares' response the whole year? This is business. This is between my agent. And he put it off. He did a brilliant job of putting it off, saying, I want to stay here. This is where I've always played. This is where I want to be. But at the end of the day, he left.
Yeah. The tweet came out. He was in different bed sheets, and he was gone.
Well, and
yeah, and he played it off beautifully the whole year.
Yeah.
This is business, and I don't really, this is between my agent and the team. I love it here.
But I think people in the on the island, I can't speak for them, but I would guess they probably felt better about Tavares sticking around than Raptors fans feel about Kawhi sticking around, because Tavares had been there for 9 years.
Right. There was a history. There's no history here with Kawhi. And there's no reason, like, Kawhi's not from here. Like, there's nothing tying him to here other than he's contractually obligated because of a trade.
For this year, and then he's got the choice. But right. Masai, you know, yes, he said we've only got him for a year, and he said that's a part of the evaluation, and you've got to, I think what he was saying there was we got to evaluate the other players just in case if Kawhi leaves at the end of the year, what are we doing then?
Right.
Are we tanking? Are we reloading? Are we taking a run at Jimmy Butler, who will be a free agent? You know, not that he's going to come here necessarily, but you know what I mean.
Right.
So I think there's a ripple effect. It's not just Kawhi. Don't get caught up in that element of it where it's just you're solely focused on what is Kawhi going to do. How do the other players perform? How does Siakam grow? How does DeLon Wright grow? Fred VanVleet, you know, all these guys. Anyway,
yeah,
we'll see.
The ripple down effect.
Yeah, yep. Starts tomorrow night. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 20 minutes. We'll get Ray's take on the Leafs beating the Kings last night. It's McDavid, Laine, and company going at it tonight in Winnipeg. That's a big game. We'll tee that up as well. And back into the Monday nighter and what went down with Rodgers and company, the Packers. Mason Crosby played hero last night. We didn't even mention that. He's back. The kickers are back. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. All right, Ray's coming up. We missed out on him earlier this hour. He will join us around 6:05. Leafs are on fire. It's McDavid versus the Jets tonight. Is it McDavid versus Laine versus Scheifele?
The Jets are loaded.
Who's the face? Who's the poster boy for Winnipeg?
Wheeler? Scheifele?
I'd say Laine. But he's not off to a great start.
He's that guy that just kind of wheels around and then rips one home, and it's like...
He's streaky, though.
Oh, he'll get hot, and it will be heater
time. Like, he's one of those guys that, you know, goal scorers, 16 goals in 10 games type of thing. Mm. You know, that's... he's been all around. He scored last game.
Oh, he's got a couple of goals, but...
I wonder if he ever pulls the power move and says, put me up with Scheifele and Wheeler.
Well, that Wheeler Kyle just Connor got locked is, in, so...
That Kyle Connor is a really good player.
He's not Laine.
Ray's coming up in the next hour. Packers survived last night. We'll get into that. Manny Machado, he's no Johnny Hustle. We'll tell you more about his comments. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.